Father, I thank you once again for the opportunity to come and minister your word and your heart. And I thank you for each and every woman that has come today. We just thank you, Lord, that you have given us the heart of a mother to plant seeds in the next generation. And Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity to come and minister. And so, Father, I ask that you would fill my mouth, my heart, and my mind right now. I just commit my way to you, Lord, and I ask you, Father, to establish the truths that you want to be expressed in this workshop, and that, Father, that they would line up with your word. And we thank you for this opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm so excited to be here. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Jill Novak, and I have a website called Remembrance Press. We have a publishing company that we do from home, and we've been doing that for the last 10 years. And some of our products, they kind of vary in their scope of interest. Some of my interests lie in writing and in art, but they also have been grown from having three daughters of my own, and so this topic of girlhood has been a very precious and near and dear to my heart topic that has just grown over the years. And I think one of the reasons why that was so amazing, when my oldest daughter, who's 22, Claire, when she was 10 years old, I saw something in her that I did not have as a girl. Maybe many of you feel that way today. You're in awe of how beautiful that time frame is in your daughter's life from 10 up. There's just a quality that happens to a girl around the time that she's 10, where I say that she's entering into her girlhood. She goes from childhood to girlhood. And this time period in her life is just a priceless training ground. And if you aren't aware of the fact that that's exactly what it is, you may miss it. And so I am so thankful that I can share this topic with you today, because I believe that it's on God's heart that we have the opportunity for new beginnings. And what will we concentrate on this year in our daughter's lives? Yes, we have to fulfill state requirements. Some of the states that you come from are very lenient in their homeschool laws, and other ones are a little more exacting in what they expect for your homeschool year. But what is God wanting this year for your daughters? Time really flies in a girl's life, and depending on how busy you are as a mother and how many children you have, and maybe even just not being quite aware of how much God has instituted a relationship here between mother and daughter that is so precious and so important, you may miss your opportunities and not realize what is God wanting this school year. And so that's what I hope to share with you today. When my daughter was 10 and I was getting ready for her birthday, the Lord gave me a poem to express what was on my heart for what I was seeing in her that I didn't have as a girl, because number one, I wasn't a Christian. We weren't Christians. And so this poem, he laid it on my heart, and I'm going to read it to you right now. My girlhood is a pleasant place where life and love abound. For here it is that all I am is waiting to be found. In play, I spend an endless time where only I can go. A child still inside the girl, a pure white budding rose. My girlhood is a time for God, his hand, his voice, his face. His steady stream of steadfast love within my days I trace. I rest assured of this one thing, he'll never leave my side, for in my girlhood heart of hearts, he always will abide. My girlhood home is all I need to learn of servanthood, For here my father and my mother seek only what is good. They take the time to teach me well and help me understand that girlhood is a time of life to lend a helping hand. My girlhood is a priceless gift, a training ground, you see, where love for others, sisters and brothers will always be the key. For God will cover my girlhood years in all I do and say, till someday a woman I will be when girlhood passes away. One of the most important things in training daughters is that they would have a teachable spirit. Does your daughter have a teachable spirit? How about you? Do you have a teachable spirit? One of my favorite Bible verses lately is, within about the last half year, has been a Bible verse that goes this way. It says, life is a series of reproof. And I've taught that to my children when I have to correct them. I want them to understand that life is a series of reproofs, not only for children, but for parents. And as any of you know, when you go to correct your children, how many times, you know, it's like with your finger pointing forward and those three fingers are pointing backward at you. When you point your finger at your children, God shows you the same lesson, and he says to you, do you have a teachable spirit? So it's really important that we are transparent with our children and that they understand that we know we aren't perfect, and yet God has given us a position of authority over them, and someone has to be the teacher and someone has to be the student. Now, for some of your children, for some of your daughters, this is an easy concept. For others, it is hard. If you have more than one daughter, I have three. All three of them are very different. Elizabeth is 13 and Anna is 9. Claire is 22. All three of those daughters are very different. Some of them are able to take correction very easily, and others struggle with it. And I think a book worth reading on this subject is Kevin Lehman's Birth Order book. Girls have different makeups and different positions in the family. And so I generally remember that the oldest child will test authority, but also has a propensity to wanting to please their parents. And I don't remember much about the middle and the last, so you'll have to do a little research on that. But that helps explain why some girls will be more compliant and just be naturally more understanding of what you're saying, but others will test your authority. And so it's helpful to explain to your daughters, and now you can start this. I think the seeds for girlhood are really planted when a girl is, you can be doing so much at the age of 3 to plant the right seeds that will carry this girl through her whole girlhood till she is a woman. But as she gets a little older, you can be, if you find a resistance to authority in her, explain to her that mommy and daddy are the teachers and that she is the student, and this is the way God has designed it, and it never hurts to say that in the midst of what you want to teach your child. Being taught requires an openness and a willingness to be taught, the desire to learn. If you find that your child doesn't seem to be wanting to hear what you're saying, there's a heart block, and there's a wall up for some reason. I'm going to explain a little bit further some of the things that open up that heart and can keep that heart soft and pliable. But if you find that your child has a resistance to hearing, listening to what you have to say, there is an obstruction. There's something there holding that child back. Learning comes from being teachable. And so these seeds need to be planted in a child's youth. And it's so interesting where in Titus 2, where it says that the older women are to teach the younger women. And that's not talking about 20-year-olds or younger women with children. That's talking about the new. I think the word is nuos. It means the new, women, the new girls in their youth. And so be aware that if you're finding some blockages to learning, that it is because your child doesn't have a teachable spirit. And these are things to pray about. Make sure that what you're modeling in front of them is a teachable spirit. In fact, you are the greatest curriculum your children will read. You are the greatest curriculum your daughters will observe and learn from this school year, you and your relationship with your husband. Be aware that every seed that you sow in the right direction will bear fruit. Every seed sown in discord and dishonor to your husband will only grow you a garden of weeds, especially when those girls are in their teens. It's going to come back, and it's going to shame you. So be aware that there's not a book you have to buy, but there is a book you have to read. There's a great book you need to read, the Bible, but there's not a book or a dollar or a penny you need to spend beyond realizing for their curriculum for this school year, it is you, mother, it is you. Now, Carolyn Mahaney and Nicole Mahaney Whitaker have written a book together called Mother-Daughter Conversations on Biblical Womanhood. And I haven't been able to read this whole book, but this book is on review on the internet, and so some of the chapters are visible. And so I have been on their Girl Talk blog, but I want to read this to us. Biblical womanhood, simply defined as God's perfect design for women, is revealed in the Bible. Much more than a writing script, it's a way of life. More than something we read or write, it's something we speak and do. We find this language scattered throughout the entire Bible. Tucked in Titus 2, 3, and 5 is a summary of some of the qualities of a godly woman, such as purity, self-control, kindness, love for husband and children, skill in homemaking, and a heart of submission. But we find more traits in passages such as Proverbs 31:10 through 31, 1 Timothy 5:9 through 10, and 1 Peter 3:1 through 6. Together, these characteristics comprise the language of biblical womanhood. They provide for us a composite sketch to initiate and copy, like an aspiring artist would copy a great masterpiece. Throughout this book, we'll attempt to trace these lines to discover what biblical womanhood looks like for a mother and daughter in the 21st century. But first, we must understand our responsibility to pass on this language from mother to daughter. For while God clearly calls all older women to school the younger women in the art of biblical womanhood, Titus 2, 3 through 5, one of the most important teacher-student relationships is between a mother and her daughter. We have an exciting task, an assignment from God Himself, to transfer these feminine attributes from one generation to the next. This is our mother-daughter purpose, our mission. So I hope you can get excited about your role as your daughter's greatest mentor and teacher. One of the things that I think can be a great hindrance to walking freely in what the Lord wants to do between you and your daughter is maybe your past or your remorse over your past. I think many mothers have expressed to me that they're just heartsick over the fact they see their daughters being raised in a godly home. They see that there is this beauty to girlhood that maybe they didn't have, and there's just a sadness and a remorse. Well, it's true. It is sad that many of us weren't raised as Christians, or it is sad that maybe we were abused physically, or we were abused spiritually or mentally, verbal abuse from our mother or our father. Scripture says, once you've put your hand to the plow, do not look back. I don't know if we can really fully comprehend how much we don't have to look back anymore. You know, there's not one thing we can do to change our past, but we are redeemed, and we are covered under the blood. And so today, ladies, I want to encourage those of you who just are heartsick at your own girlhood. I just beseech you today, I ask you to not look back anymore. There's nothing you can do to change it, but there is everything you can do to give your daughter something you didn't have, because what you're going to be giving her is a relationship with the living God. And as you seek to teach her, and as you search the scriptures for God's godly blueprint for motherhood and biblical womanhood, you are going to be renewed, and you are also going to be restored. You know, restored, the definition of restored, I needed to understand what the word meant. And it meant that you were restored back to even better than the starting point. So God doesn't actually maybe take you back to the starting point of when you were a girl, but he takes you back to where he's turned you around, okay, where your heart has turned toward him, and where your daughter's hearts are going to turn toward him. Are they maybe not the kind of daughters that you wish they were? Do you struggle and fight with your daughter constantly? Is everything a struggle? Well, do you know that the Lord can restore to you a godly relationship with your daughter? You can become her greatest mentor. But you're not going to go back to the beginning of when she was a little girl, where maybe you didn't see the warning signs and her heart hardened, and now you feel like there's nothing you can do. No, you're going to go back to the point of where your heart turns. And your understanding turns that there's nothing you can do to erase that past. There's nothing you can do to change it, but God can redeem it and restore. In order for you to have a teachable spirit, you have to let go and forget. You know, God has thrown it in the sea of forgetfulness, and you need to also. So really seek him out on this matter. Make it a matter of prayer. You know, get a journal out and write down the things that you want to forget. And maybe you actually really need to just take that page, write it all down and take it and just burn it. Offer it up to the Lord as a sacrifice. Because you know what? He is our Savior. And if we had it all together, we wouldn't need him. Well, your role. You know what? The most important thing in being a mentor to your daughter is that you would be gentle. I have put a link here for you for a Bible study that we did in the Girlhood Home Companion, this last issue, on true beauty, which is the beauty of a quiet and gentle spirit. And I have a wonderful illustration in there of where I got pulled over for a ticket in Indiana, and the officer who pulled me over, a state trooper, was a beautiful lady. And her instruction and her reprimand was so gentle that I actually thought I wasn't going to get a ticket. But the truth is, I was going to get a ticket, and I was going to reap the consequences of my sin. And I had such a beautiful illustration of what a quiet and gentle spirit could do. The Lord says it's because of his kindness and because of his gentleness that we are turned to repentance. And so one of the most important things with your daughters is to be kind and gentle to them in your correction. Now, there's another book that I really love, which is Winsome Womanhood. And I want to read what the author says there about gentleness. She says, one final word. A sensitive girl often suffers from the teasing proclivities of her brothers and from the thoughtless elder sister. I imagine that to be maybe where, you know, the older sister is the older sister and she's going to let everyone know it. So it says a sensitive girl often suffers from these things. She has her rights and her privileges, and among them is immunity from needless jesting and careless tyranny. Nor ought a young girl to be reproved in public nor held up to ridicule. She is an uninformed being to some extent, and to mar her in the making is exceedingly short-sighted and unkind. exact from her the performance of her regular daily duties in the task work of the school and in the routine of the home, but include her in the simple household pleasures and surround her with the protection of considerate politeness. If she is brisk, be the more delicately urbane. If she is willful, treat her with gentleness. If she is disturbed and disquieted, find out the cause. Be true to her and expect from her the truth. I can't stress enough how important it is to be gentle with your daughters in correction. And when we're very busy and very stressed, we can come down so hard on them. And you know what? We lock their hearts up when we do. So some of you may have to really pray and think back to, I know the Lord reveals areas of where our daughters' hearts have locked up. If you can remember an incident that where you know that you scarred them, you need to apologize to them. You need to come to them and humbly ask their apology and say, I was wrong. I was wrong with how I yelled. I was wrong with how angry I was. You have to do this in order to minister to your daughter's heart. Norm Wakefield gives a wonderful example of this. I don't know if you know Norm Wakefield at all, but he talks about how his son's heart had locked up against him, but he couldn't remember when or how that happened. How simple it is to lock your child's heart over the most ridiculous things. But Norm was cooking pancakes one morning for breakfast, and he got into an argument with his son, and he sent his son to his room. And the rest of them all ate breakfast together, but the son was banished to his room. So years later, when Norm was struggling with this child, it came out, the son said, well, Dad, do you remember that time you sent me to my room? He said, nobody cared to come after me. Nobody cared. So Norm apologized. They got to the bottom of that matter, and that child's heart was turned back to his father again. So just be really aware that gentleness can accomplish more. The Lord says that's what draws us to repentance, and that will work with your children too. Adopt a nurturing spirit. Nurture is that which promotes growth, education, and instruction. And Ephesians 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou may live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. A nurturing spirit is something that I want to study more. Charlotte Mason, that was the whole basis of her educare, was nurture. Nurture the heart. One of the things that will make your daughters receptive to you is your physical touch. And physical touch is just a very big, important part of a child listening to you. And so if you find that you're so busy that you're not hugging each one of your children every day, or you find that your daughter has a resistance to being hugged, again, pray to the Lord and ask him to reveal what that blockage is. But go the extra mile every day. Some people love physical touch. Other people aren't big on physical touch. But it is actually one of the components to learning. I have a quote in the beginning of The Gift of Family Writing about touch. Not everyone can touch, or not everyone will touch. So if you're not a real huggy type of person, just start hugging your daughters today, and you will be amazed, but you really need to feel them melt in your arms. You'll know that that's one of the ways that they're opening up their heart to you and that you're going to be able to teach them. Evaluate your daughter at the beginning of the school year, or actually right now, this month, is when you can be evaluating her spiritually, physically, academically, whatever categories you want to look at. Evaluate her and ask the Lord to give you the right things that would minister, the right way to minister to her heart and the whole person, the whole child. Give the gift of undistracted time. In the book Winsome Womanhood that I mentioned earlier, the author says, it may be that her mother, who is her natural confidant, has been so busy and so encumbered with outside service in the church and in society that she has lost her hold upon her child. And when this occurs, it is a deplorable misfortune, for a daughter's first refuge should be her mother, her next best shield, her father. Are you too busy? What is undistracted time? What do I mean by that? I've noticed that there are things that my children want to do with me, but if I never ask them, I'll never know what those things are. So undistracted time is to really ask the child, is there something that you would like me to do with you? For my Elizabeth sewing, she wants me to spend time with her making and showing her how to sew. And last year, we made her first apron together. It was a really kind of complicated pattern. It was a vintage apron pattern. And this is a daughter that is very quiet and really so much like me that we could just be in the same room together and not talk, and it would be very normal for her not to open up to all that's hidden deep in her heart. But do you know that when we made that apron, she just came and threw herself on me and was like, thank you, Mom. Thank you for making that apron with me. And so that you can ask your daughters, is there something that they want to do with you that maybe hasn't occurred to you? And that's going to be hard because you're going to really have to carve out time. Some of these projects aren't easy that they might want to accomplish. But give them the gift of undistracted time. You'll have to look at how much time are you spending online, how much time are you spending emailing your friends or reading comments from people who've left things maybe on your blog. Are you spending as much time writing to your own children? Some of the topics that we've covered here are letters to your children and forget-me-not face, and the gift of family writing is so full. All of these resources are full of ways to reach your children's hearts through the written word, and this is just an area that we really cannot forsake with our own children, or if we do, time goes so fast. They'll be out of our house before we know it, and are you going to have regrets that you spent more time online encouraging people outside of your home than encouraging your children, who should be your first priority before anyone outside of that home? So I really encourage you to give the gift of undistracted time. And then purposely instruct, spontaneous and planned. What do I mean by spontaneous? Well, I've been married for 28 years now, and I don't think at the beginning of my marriage and the beginning of having children that I realized how much influence I really had to spontaneously draw those children to the Lord every day. And so as you're going about your normal housewifely duties and about your home education, listen to the Lord. And, you know, if you see an object lesson in something simple such as nature or an incident that's happened in the home, stop and use that opportunity to instruct your daughters, whether it be something about biblical girlhood, whether it be in encouraging them to serve. Whatever opportunity you have, be listening to the Lord and take the time to instruct. You can never instruct too much in a spontaneous way. And what I mean by that is I've been reading some really cute stories, and I don't know if you're like me at all, but I just fall in love with books that lead me to meet mothers that maybe the daughter wrote the book, or mothers that I would not have known in life except through books. And so one of my favorites right now is a book called Mama's Kitchen Window by Alice J. Kinder, and the other one is Mama's Pathway to Heaven. Alice was just a wonderful writer, and one I've just enjoyed so much reading these stories from life in the Kentucky hills and nostalgic glimpses of home life in the Kentucky hills and the mother whose love and faith guided her family. These kinds of stories are invaluable to read to your daughters. think about how you only have one shot at this, ladies. You only have one shot to be the kind of mother that maybe you didn't have. You only have one shot to be the kind of mother that you want to be for your daughters. Make the most out of every single day. I love how Betsy Jennings, that's the mother in these stories, how every day was just so purposeful. And it was either in spontaneous things she said, or I don't know, did Betsy even realize that she was just a walking, talking Bible? Her faith was so incredible. You know, her relationship with her husband was so sweet, and he didn't go to church for quite a while, and she honored him and revered him nonetheless. And so the things she would do to me were very practical things that any of us can do, and yet I believe they were just who she was. I don't know if she gave a whole lot of thought to it, but every day was just a blessing poured out upon her family. And I want to read this one to you about her blue speckled teapot. She said, "God needs our money for the growth of his work," Mama told us. "After our tithes, we can spend money to buy clothes and necessities for the house." One of the first necessities Papa bought in the fall was a new teapot. Mama delighted in her shiny new aluminum teapot. Still, she couldn't bear to throw her leaky blue speckled one away. It had been a wedding gift from Papa, a part of our family life down through the years. We'll hang the old teapot behind the pantry door," Mama decided, her eyes intent on the faded blue fleck. "I'll think of a purpose for it later." Papa nodded assent. Busy with his pencil and a string of brown wrapping paper, he was absorbed in figuring the yield of our harvest corn. "The Lord has truly sent a blessed season this year," he spoke at last. "With a full harvest, we'll have enough to meet our needs and our portion for him, of course." A swiftly dawning light leaped into Mama's eyes. "Why, that's what we'll use the teapot for, as a new place for setting aside our tithe," she exclaimed with joy. "Only yesterday I wondered what we'd use after I dropped Grandma's sugar bowl." Papa gave an indulgent smile. After all, teapots and sugar bowls weren't such important matters. What mattered was God's portion be used to lead people to the Lord. Mama returned Papa's smile and began scrubbing her blue speckled teapot for its new role. Working away, she sang, "Brighten the corner where you are." To her, such items as teapots and corners were vital necessities for living. She felt that God was also interested in the role of little things. Otherwise, he wouldn't have made people so dependent on them. She didn't just talk about tithing. She made it so that the children could actually see that this teapot is where our tithe goes. This is living. This is a living example. This is, we're not just talking about faith, we're doing it, we're showing it. And so I really recommend these books to you. She had all kinds of little sayings that she would say, like one of her sayings was, "A teaspoon of love reaps a cup full of sugar." And so she had a Scottish background, and she had all these little colloquialisms and sayings that had been passed down from grandmother to mother to daughter. And so I encourage you to just get your own list of cute little sayings, even besides just Bible verses. I mean, Bible verses, when you're doing dishes, sing hymns, worship songs while you're washing dishes and doing other household chores. Stop and pray with your daughter if the Lord lays it on your heart. You know, when they're struggling with a bad attitude is because there's something upsetting, and we can embrace them in their pain and in their confusion instead of getting mad that they're ruining our day. Use every moment you can to honor your husband, and this is probably the most important key to your children obeying and honoring you. And if you really struggle in those areas because you don't feel you have his support, I just want to encourage you to push through that resistance of trying to repay evil for evil. The word says the Lord will not honor that. And I know that with a room this size full of this many people, there are those who are in marriages that are really struggling. And so every workshop, I always recommend the John Regeer series. If you're struggling and you really just have no hope for your marriage and you are depressed and just hopeless, and I understand those feelings and acknowledge them, and my heart goes out to you right now, John Regeer has counseled over probably 1,300 people for free in Colorado. He usually has a waiting list that is years long, and so his materials address these issues of locked hearts and about spouses just bringing out the worst in one another. Usually that happens because your spouse may be hitting all those sore points from your childhood, things that were unresolved, or from your young adulthood, areas that are unresolved, and then they're just bringing out almost the worst in you, right? And so I really recommend these materials. If you're struggling in a marriage to the point of despair, do not miss what God has for you in these materials. They may be the most important homeschool curriculum you buy this year. If you're struggling in your marriage, buy those materials before you would buy anything else, because your children need to see a healed mommy and daddy. And beside that, though, what can you do? Stop repaying evil for evil. And that is very hard, especially with how evil the enemy can be through the ones who are supposed to love us the most. But I want to encourage you, and I have a little practical story about that that happened to me this last week with my Anna, who's 9. I looked over, and she had a blue plastic bowl for her cereal, and I said, where did that bowl come from? And she said, oh, Dad bought them, Mom. And I said, well, why did he do that? Now, right there, you know that I was struggling with the fact that there was a blue plastic bowl on my table, because I have some very pretty white and yellow speckled enamelware. Got it off of eBay, and it had just, it was wonderful. It had 8 place settings and 2 different size bowls, one that's deep for cereal and another one that's kind of nice for soup. It's a little shallower, and we have quite enough bowls as far as I thought, and yes, I have a blue and white kitchen, and so the yellow and the white fit in there, but I just didn't know where this bowl came from and why did we need it. And the first thing inside of me was to really just make a fuss about that and to explain to Anna just what I told you. And it would have been very disrespectful. And the Lord just, the little red flag went up, and I realized that if I planted in her that dissatisfaction with what Daddy had done, it would be self-defeatist. Why would I do that? Why would I want to put that conflict in her mind that Dad doesn't know what he's doing? Okay? So I said to her, well, if Dad thinks we need those bowls, then that's the bowls we should have. And so she said, that's right, Mom. Oh, I'm telling you, out of the mouths of babes, right? That's right, Mom. Well, later that afternoon when I talked to Robert, when Anna wasn't around, I said, Robert, I noticed you bought some bowls. And, oh, and another thing she said that was really cute, she said, Dad likes plastic, Mom. And I thought that was so cute, and it's true. I think he does really like plastic. So later that afternoon when I asked Robert about the bowls, he said, well, I just couldn't resist. He said there were 4 of them, 4 for 25 cents. And he goes, you know, between the dog and we live on a farm here, between the dog and the chickens and everyone else who uses our bowls, and, you know, the kids can run outside with a bowl of water and grab one of our bowls to give the dog a drink or whatever. He said, you know, I just really don't like, you know, eating out of everything that everyone else is eating out of here, and it just cracked me up. But I said, Robert, I just want you to know that I supported you in that and that I backed you up. And so the longer you're married, the more you realize that your husband and you need to be a united front. And when they come, and I'm a very merciful mom, but when they come in and they say, Dad told me to do the dishes now before I can go swimming or whatever, and I'll say, that's right, do what your dad said. And so giving honor to him and respect to him in front of your children is going to just trickle down to you and be so important for your children to give you honor and respect when you need it the most when you're teaching them. For planned, purposeful instruction, have daily devotions. Make sure that this is something that I know when we're really busy, sometimes those daily devotions get pushed aside, but I love when I read story after story about whether it's Betsy here or other mothers and fathers from the past. Daily devotions were just such a part of their family's makeup. And so some of you may have a husband where you're just wanting him to lead and lead and lead in devotions. And for many years, I struggled with that too. I just really wanted my husband to be the one every day who would stop everyone and we would just do this routinely. Some men are really good at that. Some men are not. If your husband isn't, don't make it an issue. Just instigate having devotions yourself. Some husbands are very willing. They just need you to hand them the Bible and say, honey, can we have devotions? Or you just ask them, can we have devotions now? Sometimes it varies with our schedule. And I've noticed that it's really, my husband gets up very early in the morning. And so after he comes home for lunch and after he eats, it's kind of like all the energy goes out of him. That's not the greatest time for our family to have devotions in the afternoon when he's been up since 2:30 in the morning. So be flexible. Go with what works for your family. But do not, if you have a husband who isn't a Christian or doesn't seem to emphasize or even feel the need for daily devotions, don't hesitate to have them with your children yourself. Some of my richest, most treasured times are when I just spontaneously will, even though it's planned, but when we'll just have devotions any old time. And so Dad can be there. Dad doesn't have to be there. It doesn't have to lay all on his priestly role. Scripture says that if you are a believer, your whole household is sanctified unto the Lord. Teach your daughter to do her own daily devotions. When your daughter gets old enough, when she's, I would say really, she really needs to know how to do this around the age of 13 for sure. I mean, some girls are very ahead of themselves and can be doing their own devotions and writing out word definitions at the age of 11. But by the time she's a young adult, she really needs to start having her own devotions. She can see how faithful she is to put the Word of God first in her day. Build a library full of good girlhood resources. The Girlhood Home Companion, which is the magazine that we publish, and the Back Issue Album. The Back Issue Album is, I did that with my older daughter when she was, we started that at about the age of 12, and so we went for 3 years. So we cover over 13 character qualities in the Back Issue Album of the Girlhood Home Companion. And then we just started publishing the Girlhood Home Companion again in Christmas of 2006. These are the kinds of resources that you just can't have enough of for the school year. If you don't have a plan for building your daughter's character this year, and she's anywhere from the age of 10 and up, you really need to seek the Lord and get a plan for getting resources. Build a girlhood library. Build a godly womanhood library. And side time, either once a week or every other week or monthly, that you get with your daughter alone and you go through a resource or a Bible study with her. The girlhood is uniquely designed that so that every topic we cover, most of the articles and stories all cover that topic in one way or another, and so it's really thorough. And it's for girls, but the beauty of the girlhood is that we really encourage you to use this as a tool to sit with your daughter and to discuss what's written in those articles. And let me also encourage you, ask your daughter's questions. You know what? This is something I really missed with my 22-year-old. I never thought to ask her questions that would have really helped open up some of the things that she was struggling with. So instruction isn't only talking, but it's listening. But your daughter may not know what to even voice. My daughter expressed to me about 2 years ago that she had seen some things in the library that really caused her to stumble. I didn't know that, ladies. I had no idea. And so ask your daughters, is there anything that you've seen that was troubling you? Don't be afraid to ask them these kinds of questions. So I've listed some other resources here for you. Nancy Lita Moss. Sometimes I'll mention her name to people and they don't know who she is. She's a wonderful Bible instructor for women and has wonderful resources available. A lot of that can be applied to your daughters. Elizabeth Elliot is a wonderful resource. I don't know if you've ever heard of Back to the Bible, but she used to speak 15 minutes every day, and you know, you would just hang on every word out of Elizabeth Elliot's mouth. One of her most famous sayings is, when you don't know what to do, just do the next thing. And that comes in quite handy when life gets confusing. Just do the next, and I might just add to that, the next right thing, okay? Carolyn Mahaney and Nicole Mahaney Whitaker and their book, Mother-Daughter Conversations on Biblical Womanhood. Like I said, I haven't read that whole book, but what I read in the beginning I sure liked. And they have the girltalkblogs.com, and right under here I have What Does It Mean to Be a Woman? This was such an excellent talk given by Carolyn Mahaney. It explains the role of a woman, but it explains that God has designed us uniquely feminine, and in that femininity, we are created to be helpers. And so I love how she says, teach your daughter to ask, how can I help? If you don't cultivate these traits now while they're young, they won't have a clue how to acquire them once they reach the age of 18. We live in such a self-centered society where self is what's more important than anything else. They won't even ever ask themselves this question. I know that I certainly didn't come into marriage having that understanding, not being a Christian. And so it still is mind-boggling to me sometimes to try to understand what does it mean to be a helper. That is one of the unique qualities that God has designed women to be helpers. And so I think that book is going to be a real blessing. Well, your daughter's role in having a teachable spirit would be that she has humility, that she is humble, and go through some studies on humility. If you look any of these kinds of things up on the internet, you'll find Bible studies. You know, you can just read through them. If it clicks with you, take the time to sit down with your daughter and go through a study on humility. Reverence is also needed. She needs to understand that she is to honor and respect her parents. What parent doesn't quote the verse to their children about honoring their mother and father? And if they want it to go well with them all their life, why wouldn't anyone want it to go well with them? And so make sure that you are also honoring and respecting them, though. I know for years my husband prayed that I would hear what comes out of my mouth, that I would hear what I'm actually saying to my children. And it took me many, many years to be able to hear my own mouth. And when I heard what I would say, I would apologize when I would realize finally that what I just said was way off and I had no business saying it. So if you want your children to honor and respect you, respect them as human beings also. Gratitude is a big one. Does your daughter have a grateful heart, or is she always whining and complaining? If she's always whining and complaining, are you always whining and complaining? Some of us have a tendency to verbalize our feelings a lot. Sometimes we're the auditory ones, and we'll just talk about whatever we're feeling, and we just voice it out loud. Well, you may have children like that, but it is a good clue. Whatever is in a man's heart comes out of his mouth. And so work to instill in your children a gratefulness to God for what he's doing in their lives, and gratefulness in living. And the one of the best ways, again, to instill that is that it would be on your lips and in your heart. even through the most trying times. God's word says we praise him in the good times. We aren't wanting to praise him in times of adversity. No, he deserves our praise all the time and our gratitude all the time. Discretion and discernment. You know, there's a spiritual discernment and then discretion. So pray for your daughters to have the eyes to see certain situations. I love how Betsy in Mama's Pathway to Heaven, how the mother always had this kind of sense of what was going on. Well, God does give women an intuitive sense. Teach your daughters to discern the spirits. Make sure that what they believe lines up with the Word of God and that it's not man's laws and man's adding to what how simple God's ways are. And then these next three things here, discernment, discretion, obedience, and trustfulness, these qualities will guide your daughter, will guard her heart. And so, you know, I love in obedience here, the Hebrew word shama means to hear with attention to obedience, to overhear, to eavesdrop, to lend an ear, to listen, to understand what one has heard, and understanding heart to obey. Obedience, this is the Hebrew word for it, shama. It's much greater than a child just complying on the outside, but they're standing up in their heart. They're standing up, you know, they're just on the inside. They're not really obeying at all. If you find that you have a child who's just not obeying you over and over again, and I've been struggling with some of those issues with one of my children, then you really need to take that child aside and explain to them, again, the blessing of obedience. Again, pray, see if there's something that you've done. Are you so distracted and so busy that your commands are harsh and that you do not have a quiet and gentle spirit? Or are you modeling in front of your children disrespect and questioning when your husband tells you to do something? All of these things will either give your child a listening heart or blocked ears. Trustfulness is one of the greatest keys to having a teachable spirit. And you really need to teach your children from an early age that trusting in what mom and dad have told them is God's way of protecting them, that we will not be walking the way the world walks, and that everything that we do, we will be trying to line up with the Word of God as much as possible. And that even if you can't understand what dad or I are asking you to do, you have to trust us that we know what is best for you. And while you live in our house, that we are the final authority on those things. That may sometimes be a bitter pill to swallow. But again, if you've started this training while they're young, this will be so much greater and easier for them to understand when they are in their teen years. Hindrances to being teachable can be pride, insecurity, fear of rejection, covering up the fear of being labeled stupid, or simple rejection of learning and preferring to wallow in self-pity. And self-pity is huge. You know, pride, there's hidden pride, and there's out-in-your-face pride. I mean, we can all tell people who have pride issues because they're so demanding, okay? Demanding people are very pride-filled. But hidden pride can be when someone seeks to control through self-pity. Do you wallow in your self-pity? Do you like feeling sorry for yourself? Have you been under oppression for so long that it actually feels good to feel bad for yourself? You know what? Self-pity is actually a form of pride. And the John Regeer materials go through. They have two lists of pride, obvious pride and hidden pride. And so be aware that you may have children because of their temperament or whatever that really feel sorry for themselves and their lot in life. Well, do some digging, do some praying, and try to get to the root of where that's coming from. Virginia Knowles from Hope Chest, I'm on her mailing list, and just this week, at the beginning of the week, I was sent this poem here, A Mother's Seeds. And I love what she's written here, so I'm going to read this to close, because in some ways I know I've said pray a lot, and yes, and when I gave my art workshop, I talked about praying a lot. Praying for God to reveal blockages, places where we've actually hardened our children's hearts against us because we didn't listen to their pain. Life is so much about not wanting to feel pain. That's a human tendency. And yet when we ignore others' pain, we're really being unscriptural, because we'll be sad with those who are sad. We'll be happy with those who are happy. We'll rejoice with those who rejoice. If we're just trying to get our children to have an outward compliance and keep our day, you know, running smoothly, and how dare they mess up our day with their bad attitudes, then we're really not listening and listening to the Lord to understand what is going on with our own children. And you know what, ladies, this can be exhausting work. It really just can be exhausting. But you know what, you cannot let up. You can never stop. And you know what, don't let your children's bad attitudes or the enemy pinching them, in a sense, take away your joy. You know what, you're the mommy. And you know what? If you want a joy-filled home, you're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to labor for it, and you're going to have to pray for it. And I love Virginia's poem, and I'm going to read that to close. A mother sows seeds, sows in hearts softened by sweet nurture, seeds of myriad sizes, shapes, and sorts, truth, mercy, faith, repentance, salvation, wisdom, praise, discipline, responsibility, love, joy, peace. Here a seed, there a seed, everywhere a soul seed. And I'll let you read the rest of that, but you know what I love down in the fourth stanza here? It says, working, watering, worrying, weeping, watching, waiting, wondering. Will these tiny seeds fulfill destiny? My older daughter wrote me a letter in February for my birthday, and I just want to read just a little part of it. The Word of God is so true that what we sow in these children's lives, they will walk in it when they are older. And you will never regret the time that you give your daughters. You will never regret the time that you set aside your normal routine to spend time with them and to get to know who they really are on the inside. You won't ever regret that. This is, my daughter wrote this to me. She said, Dear Mom, I just want to make sure you know how much I love, respect, and appreciate you. I know our relationship has been through some ups and downs, but you are still my best friend and the one person I can count on to be there for me anytime, anywhere. You let me be real and express what I am honestly feeling, and somehow you always make me feel better about myself. Thank you for continuing to offer wise counsel and for lovingly pointing me back to God. Thank you for waiting on the Lord with me. I praise God for you and for your hard work and dedication. You are the true example of godly womanhood and someone I will always look up to. No, you are not perfect. But it is through witnessing your imperfections and still your willingness to conform to the image of Christ and trust God that I find myself growing stronger in Him. And that's what it's all about, ladies. Not through all of our perfection, but really through all of our imperfection. And as we lean daily on the Lord, as we trust in Him, as we come to Him, wanting to obey and hearing what He is saying to us and modeling what it means to trust the Lord fully with our hearts. That is the greatest curriculum that our children will ever learn from.